Welcome to the Beyond the Massacre podcast with Cam Lee. I'm your host, Pete Sludge Monster 76. And get ready to hear the untold story of the history of death metal. The truth they don't want you to know. The version they don't want you to hear. From the man himself, Cam Lee. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the Beyond the Massacre podcast. So I'd like to welcome everybody to this episode of the Beyond the Massacre podcast. Now, on this episode, we have someone really cool. We have Morten Hansen, who is the drummer of As in Hell, also played in a band called Raunchy, also plays in a very cool death metal band, which I had never heard, called Blood Eagle, that I listened to when I was doing some background on Morten and absolutely loved. But we talk about it during the episode. But this is also the first time we've had two members of the same band on the podcast. So you've heard the episode with Mark Grew, who is the singer of As in Hell, and now you're going to hear this episode with Morten Hansen of As in Hell. So sit back, relax, and listen to my talk with Morten. How did you get started with the whole metal thing? Because you've played in a bunch of different bands. I mean, from Hate Spear to Raunchy to Blood Eagle. And now, As in Hell, how did you get started basically as a metal drummer?
Well, actually, I think I was around 9 or 10 years old, and I went to this local concert in the countryside where I grew up, and there was 10 local bands playing, and there was this one band called Angios playing, and they played some Slayer, and I remember them playing Am I Evil, and everybody was like, what the fuck is going on? Because the other bands were pop bands, and I was like, this is so awesome. The distortion, the drums, the heaviness, headbanging, and I thought, this is what I want to do. So I told my mom and dad that I'm either going to pick the electric guitar or the drums. And they said, are you sure you don't want to play the piano? Because we have a piano. Your brother is playing. I said, hell no. And then I got my first drum kit and was practicing every day. And kind of soon I started a band with a friend of mine from school. And we tried to do this stuff like Am I Evil and things like that. So, and we actually started like a cover band playing 10 Metallica songs, some Judas Priest and some Disneyland After Dark and stuff like this. And we were not that old, but we did quite well back then. And then that became Raunchy later.
Wow.
Where we started writing our own material. And the funny thing is that three of the members from Raunchy I've known since I was 6 years old. We started in the same class, so
that's awesome.
We're still together. So
yeah, that's it. Yeah, and you know, those are always the best when you meet people that you can do bands with from when you're young. And this is my fault. I should have also said you are also from Denmark, correct?
Yeah.
So there you go. So you are adding a new country to our list of places where people are from. Hey, now tell me this, when you were starting with metal, how was the scene up there? I mean, what years are we talking about? What was the scene like in Denmark at that time for metal?
We were around 94, 95.
Sure.
Was when we did our first shows, only local shows, but Raunchy.
Right.
Actually, the scene was very, very good compared to that it was like in the countryside. There was 10 to 15 different rock bands that were pretty good, I would say. And we looked up to the older guys playing metal, and we took it from there, you know.
Yeah. Now, I'm sure there are going to be some people. So we have people from all over the world that listen to this. There are going to be some people, believe it or not, that might never have heard Raunchy. So how would I know how I would describe them? How do you describe that Raunchy sound? Because it has a really cool sound to it.
Well, we started as a normal, traditionally metal band,
right?
And then we kind of got inspired by Fear Factory, Soilwork, Strapping Young Lad, Fate No More, and stuff like that.
Right.
And then I think we took it a little more to the extreme mix of death and pop elements.
Yeah.
So we call it death pop.
Well, that's
because it was like metal, but also like super gay at the same time. So we wanted to have this thing that could go from very heavy riffing and screaming, and then to something that could be almost on the edge of being a little bit, too much. But that's how it sounds.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's really. So I've been in Germany since '94. So I had heard Raunchy before, and it really does. It had a very, like you said, it could go from pop to just like straight up punch you in the face. You know, I mean, it had a really cool sound to it. Now, you did that for many, many years. And as I was stumbling through your stuff today, looking you up, I found this very cool band that I'd never heard that I know our listeners will absolutely love. And it's a band you did called Blood Eagle. Now, does the band still exist today or no?
Nah, it doesn't exist. Not that we kind of broke up. It just doesn't really exist, I would say.
Right.
Because it was actually Mirza from Nemec.
Right.
That moved to Copenhagen, where I lived, and right. We started hanging out, and then said, let's do something like Morbid Angel style, or something, have fun, some Napalm Death, just, and then we hooked up, teamed up with Franz, who was actually the originally guitar player in Volbeat.
Right.
Yeah, and we all knew each other, and we were good friends with Michael, who was in Hatesphere, the bass player.
Sure.
And we needed someone on vocals, and we tried out a lot of Danish good buddies, and we ended up hiring this young timer called Michael. He was like way younger than us, but he just had this brutal vocal.
Oh yeah.
And he's actually now the drummer in a Danish band called Defacing God. Okay. So we recorded first a demo and then later an album, which we split into, I think, three.
Yeah, it's three.
EPs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely brutal. I mean, it's always nice when you stumble upon something you've never heard. And I was just like, it's like, holy shit. So I would like to tell everybody, listen to the podcast right now, get on Spotify, and if you're a death metal fan, I promise you, you will really, really, really dig this. Check out Blood Eagle. It's one of those things I'm sure your friends probably haven't heard, and it'll make you just that much fucking cooler for being the person that knows the band that maybe your friend doesn't, right?
Yeah.
So let's fast forward a little bit to what you're doing now, which is kind of, I know it kind of probably came as a surprise to some people, but I mean, people that have known and were in the death metal scene for a while kind of always knew that Michael Poulsen started doing this, you know, as a death metal years ago, before he did Volbeat. So how did you get started with this whole thing, with this whole As in Hell stuff?
Well, it's kind of a coincidence, I think, because I've always been a good friend of Michael's, and we used to hang out a lot, like 15 years ago or something.
Sure.
And we played a lot of gigs together. We shared rehearsal room. We went out drinking, you know, like went to parties in Copenhagen. That's around 15 to 20 years ago, I think.
Right.
Then, one day I was at work. I work in a municipality here in the countryside on Zealand, like an hour away from Copenhagen.
Right.
I kind of recognized him, and I stopped. I was driving in my truck at work, and I was like, what the fuck are you doing here? And he was he said, yeah, I got divorced, I moved to the countryside, and okay, cool, man, let's meet up one day. But that's maybe 6 or 7 years ago,
right?
And then it turns out that actually we lived like I don't know, 1 kilometer or 1 mile away from each other.
Wow. Okay.
And so finally this, I told him, let's meet up. One day he called me, hey man, should we meet up or what? And yeah, and he was there with his new girlfriend, and I told him that my wife is pregnant, and he said, oh, that's cool, Jeanette is also pregnant. I said, yeah, we're gonna have a girl, and he said, yeah, we will also have a girl. And then the girls later started playing together, and we started like calling each other on a Sunday or Saturday, hey, you want to go with the kids to the playground or something?
Sure, of course, daddy stuff, right?
Yeah. And we didn't really talk so much about music.
Right.
And then I always said to him, then we started hanging out, like going to his place for a party or something, and we always ended up listening to Death with Human or Obituary or something.
Sure.
And, you know, though I've been in raunchy for a lifetime, one of my favorite albums is Human by Death.
Right.
And we sat there, Jim. Then one day he's calling me, hey, look, Morten, there's something I want to talk to you before this party. I was thinking to start this death metal band. Do you want to be the drummer? And I said, yeah, why not? Let's try it out. And if it doesn't work, we'll still be friends.
Of course, yeah.
And then I said to him, yeah, but how do you want to do this? And he said, I saw you had your drums in your garage, and I want to do it old school like that. Just come by and do it right in your, you know, rehearse in your man cave here.
Awesome.
And that's how, so this kind of ended up being every Friday.
Right.
Because this is the only day where I'm actually getting off work early.
Sure. And
we can do this before we have to go and pick up kids.
The kids, yeah.
Yeah. And it took us like no time to click and get some songs written. And of course, we had our discussions about our parts and stuff, but I think we're a really good team together with arrangements and ideas.
Right.
So we wrote those songs pretty fast. Like almost every Friday, we finished another song. Then maybe, I think we should change a little part here and there. Next time we would do that, and it was the way it should be.
Right.
So this was how the album was written.
And that's cool. And, you know, that's that. I don't want to say it's old school because, I mean, I guess as musicians, it's always the way it's been done until recently. But just sitting down.
Not actually. I disagree, because with Raunchy, it was like uploading files.
Were you doing files?
Sending click tracks. And
right.
Here's how I want the song. Play some drums to this. And I went to the studio like a few times alone and just recorded.
Yeah,
all the drums after a click track from some demos, you know.
Right.
With Michael, it was totally like before. I told, ah man, normally I have the click track so I can prepare.
Right.
Yeah, don't worry, man. We'll fix it in the studio. Then we were actually standing, like, you know, like him playing guitar, looking at me. I think it has to be a little bit faster or a little bit slower, and then okay, but this part. But it has to be slower, so there's a lot of different tempos.
Yes.
It is recorded with a click, but sometimes you just said, okay, this part sounds good, but the other part should be like 5 or 10 BPM slower.
Right.
You know? And so there's a lot of tempo changes.
Yes.
That we try to give this old school vibe that it's okay to take off on the drums sometimes, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Or slow it down.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like that computerized, you know, version exactly. of writing songs.
Yeah.
You know, it's very... Yeah. So do you know how Mark came to be involved in all this?
Yeah. This was because Mark and Michael, they have been friends for a very long time.
Right.
And I think... Michael has always been a huge Morgoth fan.
Right, yeah. So
he's Morgoth than I am. So.
Dad jokes, the best.
Yeah. So, actually, I didn't really know Morgoth. But I don't know why.
So,
I just didn't pick it up back in the 90s. I've heard about it, but... So Mark is kind of a new friend to me. I met him at Michael's wedding
for
the first time. But he's already been here hanging out for vacation and stuff, so he's such a nice guy.
Yeah, dude. He's, we have talked on the podcast before, you know, and it's cool to see the old school guys, you know, get a chance at something, you know, something renewed and something bigger. And obviously, you know, As in Hell is definitely something bigger, you know, I mean, at least for, you know, that level. And, you know, it's very cool to hear that. And I think a lot of people are going to be absolutely blown away when they hear the album, because, you know, I feel bad for the full beat fan that decides, you know, they're just gonna, hey man, let me just pop this in. They're gonna be absolutely destroyed, because this is literally brutal old school death metal, like, I mean, like it came out of the late 80s.
Exactly. I said to Michael, let's do an album that is the perfect mix of what we have been waiting for, our, you know, our bands to do for since 93, you know.
Sure.
So I think it has a mixture of all these elements that there's no doubt about. There's nothing new under the sun.
Yeah.
This is just a tribute to the guys and the bands that we were inspired about. And I think we tried also to really say to Jacob, don't fucking overproduce this.
Yeah.
I mean, don't do Beat Detective. Don't do anything. Don't overmix it. The raw sound that was on the rough mix.
Right.
Was so good that we told him, please don't put triggers on the drums. Don't use this sound as it is as much as possible. Of course, he did something, but it's pretty close to the rough mix we got, this way it sounds, because I think that this album is also gonna get some other bands gonna go to Jacob that might thought that his sound was a little bit too polished.
Right.
That they now can hear that, yeah, he can actually do something that sounds really...
nasty, dirty.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, it's that. And, you know, the funny thing is, now, I will say this. So, I know we've chatted, so I know you're an Obituary fan. And
yeah.
So, the funny thing is, you know, to us, you know, having grown up in that era in Florida and everything, you know, we always wanted that. We were kind of always searching for that Swedish, Scandinavian sound, which was always a little bit dirtier. And Florida kind of had that polished sound, you know, whereas, you know, that Scandinavian sound was always just dirtier than what we had. You know what I mean? And that is one thing that As in Hell definitely has, is it has that dirtiness to it. It has that gritty Scandinavian traditional sound that the old school bands used to have.
Yeah, but I love that sound too, the, you know, like
the clean polished stuff,
a lot, especially most of the Swedish bands from back then,
right?
And yeah, absolutely.
So now
I've got to say, your drums definitely have a very distinctive, you have a very distinctive sound, and you know, you definitely hear. So when you were doing the As in Hell stuff, did you have anything specific in mind, or was it just, I'm just going to plow through this? Because I mean, you can hear it. You can hear that you are a very heavy player when you're listening to this album.
Yeah, but I had this thing on my mind that I was going to try to mix a lot of, drummers that I'm inspired by.
Sure.
So to try and capture some of a little bit of the technical stuff, like
right.
Dean Hoagland or Sean Reinhardt, a little bit of that, a little bit of Nicke Andersson from Entombed,
right.
This kind of rock and roll, yep. Feel that it's okay to play with the closed hi-hat, a little bit of actually Snowy Shaw,
sure.
From back then. And then, of course, with a grooviness that I would say, especially a Danish drummer called Rolf, who was in Ildispost back in the day, something like that. This was, and then this kind of like redneck hillbilly truck obituary thing, and then all the time I was like, I'm not gonna over. Play this,
right.
Like, you know, do this extremely technical, like you see a lot of those young guys doing. I was gonna focus on the old school way that played a little bit slower, a little bit where it's possible to actually also hit hard because it's not 280 BPM or something.
Yeah, of course.
Which I'm way too old for.
Yeah.
And then I think with Michael's riffs, it was pretty easy to figure out how to come up with the drums. So yeah, that's it.
So can we expect As in Hell to be playing some shows? Now, I know, you know, obviously you guys all have different schedules and you guys are all parents, which I think is cool. I mean, you know, that was the funny thing when I was talking to Mark, you know, the one thing it seemed you guys all bonded on is you guys are all parents, you know, and of younger kids, you know what I mean? And that's something awesome.
Yeah.
And I think that's something, you know, a bunch of, you know, us old guys can relate to is, you know, sometimes you get brought together by, you know, out of, you know, not standard things. And, you know, you guys are all parents and you guys seem to bond over that. And that's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah. And I think that actually Michael started this band. It was his idea.
Right.
And I think that it's like, not that it was a rule, but the three of us, I think it was important for him to have someone who's also a family father,
sure.
Where you can talk about the daily stuff and things like that.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. I mean, that's awesome. And I mean, that's something you never hear, you know, and Mark talked about it when I was talking to him. And I mean, that's just cool, man.
Yeah,
I mean,
but just, we started with, you know, Michael and I, myself and Mark.
Right.
And there was a lot of big names discussed that could put on the solos and could play the bass. And then once we were done with recording the drums,
right,
and the vocals, I said to Michael, I think this took a little different direction, the way it sounds.
Right.
Some of those players we mentioned, for example, for the bass, it wouldn't really fit. Why don't we fucking just ask Jacob? He's sitting right there. And and there was, I think we were pretty fast with tracking everything. So since we were parents, we started early. I recorded the first song, was done at 8 a.m. in the morning.
Oh, that's awesome.
I started at 7:30 after the coffee, and then I think 8:10, it was actually MP Horror, and I said, it's done, man. And then at, I don't know, 11 o'clock that day, we were done with all the drums, and Mark was coming, I think Friday, and it might be Wednesday, and then what the fuck are we going to do, because all the guitars are also done. And Jacob, could you do the bass? Yeah, sure, no problem. And then he called this guy who had this bass. He thought he could borrow, and he was on tour. And then we looked up, and he found this Dingwall bass, which has this cool sound. That it, there was one place like 2 hours away. They had one in the shop. So we called this guy, and I said, I don't have anything to do in the morning. I'll get up at 6 o'clock and drive to Aarhus, and we'll buy this bass, and then you can put the bass on while we're waiting for Mark. So that's how it was. And there was not one time Jacob asked Michael, what are you playing here?
That's awesome.
He's such a super talent. So he just didn't answer. How can you do this? You're just playing the bass. You were never. And he looked at me like, yeah, but I heard you record the songs, Michael. I heard him. We tracked it here, so of course I know it, he said.
So that's awesome.
Yeah, he's really a talent.
That's cool. And that's cool about the stuff that it was all recorded stuff with the, you know, because with the kids and all, and when you have your time, you know, when I interviewed Mark, I did it at, 10:30 in the morning. He's like, I got like 3 hours before the kids come home, Pete. So let's do this now. And that's just awesome, man. Yeah. I mean, it's cool. So as we get ready to wrap this up, tell me, can we expect As in Hell to be playing live shows anytime in 2024?
Yeah, yeah. There's we are starting to plan some live shows in 24.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And I go ahead.
Yeah, and it looks like we'll be playing some festivals in Europe, as far as I can see.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. You know, we've talked before. You know, touring clubs and stuff over here at the moment, it's kind of brutal. You know, I mean, the cost of everything is going through the roof. You know, I mean, so many bands, doesn't make sense, and it seems like festivals make the most sense because, you know, you can do weekends out, and especially as parents, you know, it's, you know, you can do your weekend, your Friday, Saturday run, and then be home by Sunday, you know, and it's just it's just awesome like that. Well, that is cool because it's nice to know, you know, people will be able to get some As in Hell at the festivals. And, you know, I recommend it. I've been chatting everybody up about this because, you know, I mean, so my co-host and Mark have been friends for years, and, you know, they've sang on each other's albums, and it's just awesome. I love his vocals. I found the band on accident because of, I was at Summer Breeze, and whoever was doing the front of the house at the side stage kept playing two tracks over and over, the two tracks that were released at the time, over and over and over. And I went up and asked him because I kind of recognized Mark's voice, and he's like, it's As in Hell. I'm like, who is that? And then I got on the phone, and then that's when I started writing you. I'm like, dude, this is fucking awesome. I mean, absolutely love it. And, you know, that's the thing is I really hope that old school death metal guys just, you know, give it a listen. And because I guarantee if you listen to it, you will love it. And I know I've turned a bunch of people on in our chats and stuff, and a lot of people have really dug it. And the full album is out now, so it is out there. I saw you got it on vinyl, didn't you?
Yeah. And I also got it on the CD, and there's also going to come a cassette tape.
Oh, that's
and,
awesome.
I mean, how cool is that? And I think that says a lot about Metal Blade. They really do so many great things, and also Q Prime. It's an honor to be on board in this ship, because every day something new is happening, and so far I would say the reviews have been so good that people where I maybe would have expected that they would, who the fuck do you think they are, old turds? they can't really do it as so many others, but actually a lot of good reviews from well-respected death metal musicians.
I mean, so you can't not listen to that. First of all, you know, and I told Mark this, you know, Mark's vocals have actually gotten better with age. And there are some death metal vocalists, and which is surprising because, you know, a lot of the more power metal vocalists, it seems as the guys get older, they start losing their voice. But there are several very big name death metal singers that actually sound better now, or at least as good as they ever did before. And Mark's vocals are one of them. I mean, when you think how long he's been doing this, you know, and you're just like, wow.
Think about when he's 85, how good he's going to sound.
We always say that, you know, we're always like, at what point are people going to start getting on stage in wheelchairs and crutches? You know, I mean, it's going to be
it's going to happen, because when I was younger, I was like, dude, you're fucking 30, man. You're too old for this shit. But now we are like, there's nothing wrong with being 50 or 60, you know. You see that Metallica are still running. Lemmy, he did it. Iron Maiden, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, I think the boundaries, they are already moved to something where just play your shit and have fun. And if you are still good, then why not?
Yeah, of course, of course. So, on that note, why don't you tell people where can they get a hold of you? Do you put out anything? Where can they get a hold of As in Hell? If people are looking for the music, I know it's out there on Spotify. I know it's on most streaming places. So tell people where they can get a hold of you if they would like to know more about As in Hell.
I think it's pretty easy. Just Google it or go to Instagram or Metal Blade's homepage. We also have a Facebook. There's everything, so it's pretty easy to find.
Awesome. So, like I said, I recommend it. I will say this, we'll have more on the show. I recommend going out and checking this out. You know, I don't know if anyone has any preconceived notions. If you do, just throw those out of your fucking head. Go listen to the album, and I can promise you, you will be absolutely blown away. This shit is great. So, Morten, I appreciate your time, brother. I know we made this happen at a time when we probably, you know, wasn't going to. So I appreciate it, and I thank you for coming on the podcast, man.
Thank you so much. Thanks for listening, man.
So now that we've heard from Morten, why don't we listen to a little bit of As in Hell? This song is called Inner Sanctified.